stand for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "You have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May you see it for me.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, Jesus gives us a classic case of the haves and the have-nots. One was a rich man. The other was a poor man who laid at his gate named Lazarus. Now, on the outset here, it may seem rather clear as to who the haves and the have-nots are in the story. But is it really all that clear? Could it be that Jesus wants to teach us something about being rich and poor? Maybe. Clearly, the playing fields are not even for these two men. One was clothed in fine linen, and he feasted greatly on wonderful food every day. The other had friends carry him to the rich man's gate, hoping to feed on something that fell from the rich man's table. Being covered in sores, his only comfort were the dogs who would come and lick them. When we hear this, it's really sort of difficult probably for us to get a handle on what's going on because we don't live in that time or that culture. We live in an entirely different time. But the fact remains, we too have rich and poor, but we measure them by much different metrics. We look at ourselves and we see just how much we have. No matter the state of the economy or the interest rates or whatever, our country and most people in it have been richly blessed, financially, comfort-wise, technology-wise. But what's funny is how often we look out at others across the street or perhaps across the town and think, those folks, they're the haves, and we're the have-nots. Now, I'm as guilty as anyone in thinking this way. A house that keeps my family dry and warm during the year, 3 meals a day of whatever we feel like picking up at the grocery store, clothes to wear. Yet somehow we manage to see the rich man in our text as the other guy and not ourselves. But driving us to realize that we are economic haves is not really the point of the text. Jesus is not talking about being rich or being poor. You see, there's way more to the story of the haves and the have-nots. Now we know from the paragraph before our text began this morning, Jesus is speaking directly to whom he described as trying to justify themselves before the eyes of the people. They are the very familiar Pharisees, and they certainly considered themselves to be the haves. They thought they had it all together. Perhaps they knew their Bible so well that they didn't need to have to gather in groups to hear more about it. Maybe they didn't want to know what God's Word actually had to say to them. In the last 20 years of ministry, I've heard very similar statements from people. I talked to a man in my congregation in Minnesota and asked him why he didn't come to adult Bible study after service. He said, "I went to Sunday school. I went to every confirmation class. I was confirmed at this very church. Why do I have to hear it again? I have a Bible at home that I can read anytime I want." See, the people that Jesus was speaking to were sure that they were the haves. So much so that they looked down on poor sinners who needed to be saved. These people surely were the have-nots. And Luke paints a very clear picture of the Pharisees' attitudes here. When a friend brings a paralyzed man to Jesus, lowering him through the roof, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." But the Pharisees, in their own minds, question, "Who is this? Isn't it only God that can forgive sins?" And Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking. Probably that they didn't need forgiveness. Or the time in the temple where the Pharisee, standing in front, praying loudly for all to hear, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even that tax collector over there." Nothing for the Pharisee to repent of. After all, he's a have. And yet the tax collector who cries for mercy goes home justified. So yes, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here today. However, the Pharisees' sinful thinking that they had it all is still not the main point. There is still more to the story of the haves and the have-nots. In the two verses before our text begins this morning, Jesus says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom is preached." So here is what constitutes real having and not having. God has given the law and the prophets and the good news of the kingdom for you so that you will have his word. The law and the prophets, especially the good news of the kingdom, all of God's word makes a difference between the haves and the have-nots. Here Jesus moves the story forward. Lazarus dies, and the angels come and carry him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, but he did not have the same outcome as Lazarus. He did have people to bury him. He did have a place in hell. He did have torment. He did have eyes to see Abraham and far off Lazarus. The rich man in hell wants Abraham to send Lazarus to relieve him of the anguish in the flames. But Abraham says, "Nope, sorry, can't go back and forth. There's a big chasm between the two of us." And this is where the story should have ended. But the rich man presses on. "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them that they will not also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." And there's the heart of the story. All along, Jesus is telling about having God's word. The five brothers have God's word. Now they must become hearers of that word. But sadly, we know from the teaching that they have not been hearing it. But we, on the other hand, we too have God's word, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the law showing how desperately we are in need of a Savior, and the gospel of the Savior Jesus, who brings the good news of the kingdom. You have God's word in Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, for your hearing regularly. You have God's good news in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus for your salvation. You have God's word in the cross, the reminder of your salvation. You have God's word in the bread and wine and the waters of baptism, where you receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have God's word. You hear it in worship. You study it in class. You and I are the haves. But then Jesus closes this teaching by saying, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Talk about a prophetic statement by Jesus. Imagine seeing Jesus rise from the dead and missing its meaning, or ignoring it altogether because you have no context to understand of what is going on. But we have Moses and the prophets. We are the haves. And so we expect someone to rise from the dead. We expect to see Jesus in a glorified state. And why is that? Because of faith that the Holy Spirit creates through God's word assures us Jesus' death and resurrection is the fulfillment of all of God's promises spoken by the prophets. And by faith in his actions, his death and resurrection becomes a guarantee of our future with him. A future that includes Abraham and Lazarus with us, standing by the Savior's side. I want to close this morning with Luther's fourth verse of A Mighty Fortress, because it sounds like Luther knows something about the haves and the have-nots. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. When it comes to the haves and the have-nots, the only thing that matters is to have God's word. And when you have that, you have everything. Amen.